Hey now. Welcome to show number 34 of the Putnologist here on Fieldtown USA. I am your host, AJ Strong. And with me is, that's right, you guessed it, nobody. Everybody is on the IR this week. There is no hockey jerk. There is no rocket backhander. Somebody may make an appearance at some point during this broadcast, but we have no idea. Since we last left you, though, the Sharks have gotten themselves a record of 16-10-3, good for 35 points. The Sharks have remained third in the Pacific Division. Vegas at second with 39 points. LA just taking over first lately. 43 points going 8-1-1 over their last 10. It's a little maddening, to be honest. No one saw this coming. LA right now is where we all thought Edmonton would be. Since our last episode, the Sharks did play four games and were somehow able to take away basically every kind of ending you could get. We had a loss, we had an overtime win, we had a win, we had an overtime loss. So we will start at Washington versus the Capitals, where the Sharks picked up a 4-1 loss. Oh boy, this was not a good game. As you can tell by the score, it's a little indicative. But the Sharks are banged up. I mean, Sorensen gets his first start of the season in this one. The PK goes MIA, letting in two on six Washington power plays. It was a little bit of a parade to the box for Team Teal. And Ovechkin scored on a breakaway that Jones probably should have had. Ovi only had a backhand angle on this. I was a little upset with the way Jones played that one. And the whole play started off on a bad pass by Hurdle that handcuffed LeBanc. Then Burns flubbed the pass from LeBanc, and that just led to the breakaway. Oh, it was not good. And, of course, it was all finished by a star offensive. Ooh, I might have to hashtag that. A starfish defensive posture, trademark, by Brendan Dillon. No A in Brendan, remember. So that was horrible. But Ovi in this one played like a man who was possessed, or like a man who, you know, hadn't beaten the Sharks in Washington since 2009. It was a boring game to kind of start off with, but it did get chippy with both Thornton and Goodrow getting fighting majors, while Brendan Dillon picked up 19 PIMs to finish this one off with about 5 minutes left. Actually, no, I'm confusing it with a different game. Sorry, my bad. In the closing seconds, Brendan Dillon just gave a two-handed hatchet job to the hand of Madison Bowie. Sorry, okay. We know Gen X is listening to this and losing his mind. Dillon was issued a 5-minute major on this and a game misconduct for the play. And what ended up happening was Dillon got a 1-game suspension. Was that too much? Was it not enough? I'll leave that to you people to decide. In my personal opinion, I think it was a bit much, especially when you consider what happened just a couple games later. I think it probably should have been a fine. It's not as if Dillon has a history with player safety. The overall best part of this game, though, has to be Connolly scores after an offside challenge, which, because, of course, PDB clearly thinks that they got it wrong, but he does love his offside challenges. PDB thinks they got it wrong. I kind of think that they did get this one wrong, too. I do believe it was offside, but there really was no clear-cut video proof to show that it was. But it led to the gif of the night, possibly the gif of the season, with Evgeny Kuznetsov on the bench. As Connolly comes back, Kuznetsov has the fist up, ready to bump. Connolly completely oblivious to that. He's busy doing other things. Kuznetsov is not a man who is to be left hanging, people. So he fist bumps himself. It was the gif that went all around Twitter that night. So if you haven't seen it, go search it. It was fantastic. The other part of this that we should get into, of course, is Thornton's jumbo booty slamming TJ Oshie's head into the boards as TJ was falling after a scramble for the puck in the corner versus Logan Couture. The problem with this, was that a dirty hit? If you look at it, even in full speed versus slow-mo, and even in slow-mo, yeah, I mean, you can't judge it on slow-mo because the refs didn't see it that way. You look at it at full speed, it looks like a brutal hit, but it doesn't look premeditated. It doesn't look like Thornton was headhunting by any stretch. It was the fact of TJ just went down at the wrong time, and Thornton was coming in for a hard check to obviously get the puck away, and things happened. So the thing that PDB had an issue with, and I think most people might, is that it led to a premeditated fight between Jumbo and Tom Wilson that PDB ended up calling garbage because the play happens, few minutes go by, goes to intermission, everybody goes into their dressing room, they talk about it, and they come out and a couple minutes in, and boom, Wilson challenges Jumbo. That Yeah, it seemed kind of weak sauce. I get it if it's in the heat of the moment, but to sit there and think about it and think about it and think about it, what are you going to do? Not to mention the fact that you're going after one of the team's best players in Jumbo. So then again, it's not as if the Sharks have Michael Haley to bang away on anymore. Timo Meier nets his third of the year, his first in 8 games and second in 22. Hopefully that is a harbinger of things to come for Timo time. But that's the way this one would shake out in the nation's capital. And we move on to Sharks versus Hurricanes. After a 4-game roadie, the Sharks come home to host 3 in a row. And remember, Dylan's out of this one, serving his 1-game suspension. And the Sharks win this one 5-4 in overtime. This happened to be San Francisco Giants night for the Sharks. So they did have mystery bags for sale. Let's get into this minutia before we get into the actual game, which was a thrilling affair. Didn't start off that way, but it certainly ended that way. So it's Giants night. So you had two things going on. First off, the Giants worked with the Sharks to do one of their promotions where you have to buy a special ticket to get whatever the promotional item is that they're giving away. This is not one of those everybody through the door giveaways. So the problem with this, unfortunately, the caps, the ball caps that were ordered were actually held up in customs. So the people who came out with their special ticket looking forward to wearing their new hat or putting it up on eBay, as some do, did not received their cap that night. So the Sharks did make good. From what I understand, they did all they could to make sure everybody had their ticket would have their hat overnighted to them once they arrived and got out of customs. So hopefully that works out well for all of them. Again, as I said, start checking eBay in a couple days. You might see it up there, see what it actually looks like in person. The other thing that the Sharks were doing was mystery bags. Where this is a deal where it's essentially, big paper bag, and there's going to be random items in these bags. And I did it last year. It was pretty cool. There was, a Pavelski bobblehead, and I believe there was a Sharks ball cap, and there was I think there was a Giants, I want to say a Mad Bum, placard kind of thing. It was just some, I think, let's be honest, these are in all intents and purposes, this is all just prior giveaway stuff that they had left over, and they're looking for a way to help the foundations make some money. And if you didn't get the opportunity to get any of those giveaways, this is something you could do. Although last year it was a little different. Last year it was $30 for one bag or $50 for two bags. This year it was $40 for one bag. There was no, two for special or anything like that. So they did jack up the price a little bit. The other thing that was pretty nice last year that they didn't do this year was they designated, I believe it was three. I know it was a minimum of three. It might have been four, but there were three grand prize bags last year where when you opened, whatever random bag you took, there would be a placard kind of thing, or a hard card, like a flyer that would say you've won a Giants jersey, a Sharks jersey, or a VIP experience for the Sharks, which I assume means you get to fist bump the Sharks as they come out to the ice. Maybe he watched the game from the VIP suite Who knows? The sharks have obviously a lot of different things that they can make you feel like a VIP. So there were no grand prize bags this season, unfortunately. Maybe it's something that they'll do again next year, and maybe they'll change it up again. So getting away from that, we move on to this actual game versus the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes got out real fast in this one, took a 3-0 lead, and it wasn't great, kids. I mean, it was, I'm not saying it was a snooze fest by any stretch of the imagination, but clearly the roadie had taken it out of the Sharks to start this game. It was not something you're going to write home about. Let's just put it that way. So after, after giving the Hurricanes, who come into this game, not great by any stretch, but I mean their record, they right now, as we're recording, they're one game over 500. So I mean they're not doing too well anyway. But the Sharks spot them 3 goals in the first period. Then things start to change. And I guess the thing that changed was the Sharks realized that, you know what, we're just gonna score on special teams tonight. We're not gonna score any way else. So Paul Martin returns to this one after being out 24 games, looks very rusty. Bodker went to the IR for this game. I don't know that anybody really noticed, but the Sharks just said, be damned, 5-on-5. In the second period, Carlson picks up a shorty, Jumbo picks up a power play. And in the third, Couture picks up a power play. Goody picks up a shorty. And we end up going to overtime after the Sharks just came back like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it was, I think everybody was kind of jaw dropped that they were able to pull this off, especially after you had seen the way that they had looked versus Washington and Tampa Bay the two prior games. And then Burns ends it really quickly into overtime. I think it was about 30 seconds into overtime and just sends everybody home with a smile on their face. So it was, the Sharks sleepwalk through that first part of the game and then just came back and blew everybody's minds. Nobody could believe it. Believe you me, I sat there through the whole thing. I couldn't believe it. Hadn't seen the Sharks have a comeback like that in quite some time. So after winning in overtime 5-4 over the Canes, the Sharks settle in versus the Ottawa Senators and pick up a 5-0 win. Aaron Dell getting the start on this one gets his second shutout of the season. Fantastic game for Deller, who just seems to look better and better the more time he gets. I'm not saying that he needs to play every game. I'm just saying we're seeing a bit more of him this season than we saw last year, and he's rewarding the team for getting more time, in my opinion. So, and this one, we talk about theme nights again. This one was Marvel night, superhero night. This one had a Pavs bobblehead going to everyone through the door, and for the first time that at least I can recall, I don't know that anybody else has, but this one featured a mystery Christmas ornament night. You've heard of mystery pucks. They've even done mystery hats where, the puck or the hat is it's been signed by a player and it's wrapped up. So you just give them the money. You have to unwrap it and find out who you get. But Christmas ornaments. And these are some really cool looking ornaments too. And the ones that they promoted actually featured the original logo, which I always appreciate. If you give me the option between the brand new Screaming Shark third logo or the original crest, I'm gonna go with that original one. Well, let's be honest, I'm gonna go with the original logo no matter what it is. But that mystery ornament thing, those were $30 a piece for the Sharks Foundation. So that was pretty damn cool. What was even cooler about this? The Sens went the opening 13 minutes before getting a shot on goal. They came out a flying. It was insane. And I hope that this was in some way kind of making up for their last couple of games and just kind of taking what they had used versus Carolina the previous game where they slept walk first and then they started to maybe I don't know if they drank their Red Bull, but they definitely had their wings Sharks came out flying. Couture scores the opening goal on a sweet pass from LeBanc. I mean, just gorgeous setup. Vlasic gets the second on some amazing passes from LeBanc and Heed. Clearly, this one power play influenced, although it won't end up on the stat sheet that way. But some great passes where LeBanc behind the net, over to the left boards to Heed, that just fed a perfectly open Vlasic up at the blue line, who just slams it home, a la Brent Burns. Another one we had, Thornton to Pavs to Melker Carlson, was another fantastic goal. Anderson had no idea where this puck was. I mean, it was sitting behind him. The light was going on. He was still looking for it. Poor Anderson in this one. And then Pavelski and Hurdle score on the power play towards the end to finish it off. But by then, this game was easily put away. Again, like I said, Dell gets the second shutty of the season. But in this one, the Senators had a goal taken away from them. Stolen from them, in my opinion. And usually we're used to saying that about the Sharks. We're not used to saying about a team facing the Sharks. But this was a one that if you go and look, and you can look on my Twitter, at AJ_Strong. I put up a screenshot of it. And I had a little bit of blowback from my friend Gen X trying to debate. But you talk to most people. Gen X, though, is the mathematician. He's very exact. But I would say if you ask 99 times, or, you know, 99 people out of 100, is that a goal? They would say, yeah, that's a goal. I mean, I can't believe that they didn't call that a goal. But the Sens, I feel, got hosed in this one. But again, 5-0 win for the Sharks. That one goal certainly wasn't going to help things. But we would be remiss if we didn't mention Alexander Burrows. You can take the boy out of Vancouver. You can't take the Vancouver out of the boy. He gets the game misconduct for drilling DeMello in the grill with the butt end of his stick. And he ends up only paying $5,000. So let me get this straight. So a guy who has clear history. I mean, we're talking about Alexander Burrows, people. The guy that tried to, like, eat the fingers off the Boston Bruins in 2011 during the final. This guy has history. And he gets a $5,000 fine, which is, you know, tip money for some of these players. And, I mean, drills DeMello right in his face with the butt end of the stick. He gets a $5,000 fine. Dylan gets a suspension for a two-handed slash on the hands. Somebody is going to have to explain that to me. I guess that's the NHL player safety dartboard working overtime. I don't know. Maybe they ran out of darts and just spun it. I have no idea how they came up with Dylan getting a suspension, but Burrows only getting $5,000. Yeah. I mean, if they'd given Burrows a one-game suspension, I would have been, okay, you know, same. At least they're consistent. But yeah, this I thought was not cool, man. So after that, we finish off the series of three game at home versus the Minnesota Wild. Only the second time the Sharks have seen a team from the Central this season. We're halfway through December. I mean, we're 2.5 months in. The last time the Sharks saw a team from the Central, it was Nashville at the beginning to start off the month of November. A month and a half the Sharks have played and haven't seen any team from the Central. Not even playing Nashville again. This is only the second time. So, oh my lord. I want to know these schedulers. Anyway, so only the second time they're from the Central that the Sharks have seen. It's the return of Alex Stalock. Your favorite goalie and mine. I'm sorry, your favorite backup. But then we can get all into the whole debate of when is a backup, not a backup. So Alex Stalock, of course, gets the requisite video tribute. Michael Haley got one. So, of course, Alex Stalock got one. Daniel Winnick, you'll note, got nothing. The Sharks came out with little energy in this one. I don't know if it's the effect of playing their third game in 4 days. And they did kind of, I know empty the tank is a trite cliche, but they did kind of empty the tank a bit to come back versus Carolina. Then you've got this game versus the Senators, which I thought was a pretty well-balanced game. I didn't think it would take all of them, take all of the energy out of the Sharks, but nonetheless, this one was not good. They came out with no energy, and it was a parade of penalties. The Wild players getting called at the same time. And at one point, we even had the Wild getting called, two players get called for penalties at the same time. So, but unfortunately, there was a Shark already in the box at the time. So they get a brief 4-on-3, then a brief 5-on-3. Burns finally puts it in on the 5-on-3 power play right at the very end. But it was a parade to the box. And that said, there was easily another 10 penalties that could have been called that weren't. So we will, of course, finish that off with, besides the penalty parade, because it was craptacular to say the least. But Burns gets off a bomb from the blue line, finds the open space after a great zone entry and an awesome setup from Pavelski. Hurdle scores with 5 minutes to complete a second comeback from a third deficit, another 3-goal deficit. They're second in their last three games, but it wouldn't be enough. It would get them to overtime, but the Sharks would lose with a craptacular effort and horrible defensive play from Dylan DeMello and Timo Meier, who just could not keep possession on that overtime 3-on-3. And so that is the week that was in Sharks hockey. And now I finally am joined by somebody, Puck Guy filling in. We've recalled him. And with that, how are you, sir?
I've been recalled and hoping that I don't get waived to go back to the minors again. Puck Guy 14 here. Good evening, everyone.
Well, thank God you joined in when you did because no, because I just finished up the games and we're getting into stuff where I can't be like I need somebody else's opinion. It can't just be me.
All right. Well,
For
I'm
the
glad to help you.
games, for the yeah, for the game, sure, I don't care. It's all about my opinion, but no.
Oh, well, whatever. Thanks a lot, AJ.
yeah, right. So we move into Shark Bites. Just a couple fun things to get into. Paul Martin sent down to the CUDA on a conditioning assignment after struggling mightily. This is what Joe Namath would consider struggling. Had a horrible game against the Canes in his first time back since October 7th. And to replace him, Sharks defensive prowess. I mean, defensive stud. I mean, just I love this guy. Timmy Heed. Timmy comes up after dealing with the upper body injury, returns after missing five. So there's a quick one for you. Again, I mentioned earlier, Boedker went to the IR. No one noticed. The other funny
Wait,
thing.
he did?
Yeah, exactly. What? Who knew? Nobody. So the other funny thing for Shark Bites, and I think we were supposed to talk about this last week, but we kind of ran short on time. But NBCSN, I love you guys. I love what you're doing over there with the teal talk and a lot of the graphic stuff. But who was asleep at the wheel a few games ago where your graphics department just lost it when they were doing the opening lines? I mean, what was it? I think the starting line was Martin Jones playing left wing, like Goodrow playing center and Jumbo on the right wing, and the next line had Dell centering, I think, Dylan and Heed. I mean, I don't even. And then, of course, as you got further into the lines that they were showing, it was, name here instead of the.
In other words, if the dream for you is to have Burns back to forward, well, this game was for you for the graphics team. Jones to
Yeah.
forward. I mean, let's just, I think they were going to try to put AJ Strong in the defensive unit, but unfortunately, they didn't have his mugshot on there yet.
It was either that or they couldn't find an underscore.
Ha.
Hard to find that to put on the back of the jersey. The other thing that happened this week, Twitter kind of lost its mind a little bit when the Sharks announced that the giveaway for March 20th versus New Jersey will be a shirtless Joe Thornton bobblehead. If you're not aware, this all has to do from somebody taking a photo of Jumbo and Burnsy when they were walking about in Pittsburgh last season. And the photo kind of went around. Next thing you know, somebody from the Sharks, ideas department says, "Hey, what if we made that a bobblehead?" And Twitter lost their mind this
Oh,
week.
but I mean, that's the way that you get back at people. Say, "Oh my God, how dare he wear doesn't wear a shirt around the city of Pittsburgh? That's just disrespectful." It's like this just in. We have a star player who likes to be disrespectful to the league. Now we have two,
Yes.
so it's a so we're okay. And why not make fun of it at the same time and enjoy it and embrace it?
Absolutely. And I got to be honest with you. Now that you're bringing that up, how have the Sharks, I mean, we're what, 4 years away from this, almost five. How have the Sharks not done a Hurdle bobblehead of him with the stick between the legs? You know, that shot on Marty
Exactly.
Baron. How has that, hockey gods, if you're fair and just people, you'll make that happen next season.
Well, I mean, it would be offensive to Marty Biron, so I
He's not
mean,
in the league
that's the thing.
anymore. Who cares? You know, and
That's
Adam Oates can go puck himself.
right.
Yeah,
Freaking hoser.
but this Jumbo bobblehead, I have not seen this much like built up just anxiousness to own a bobblehead until now. It's a
Right.
people coming out of the woodwork. Few people thought the Pavelski Captain America thing was pretty cool. Everybody loves the shirtless Jumbo.
And let's give credit to the Sharks organization. I mean, they stepped up their bobblehead game this season. You have the Pavelski one, you have the Vlasic one with the dogs. I think the Barracuda have the Braun and Pavelski dual fighter pilot bobblehead.
They also have the dual Burnsy th Jumbo one for Martin
That,
Luther King Day.
yeah, and they got a Burnsy Nutcracker, a Burnsy. I think he's in the green suit again for another bobblehead later on this year. I mean,
Oh,
shoot,
end of the season, fan appreciation night for the Sharks is a duel,
yeah,
the barbershop Burnsy Thornton. So,
oil it up, baby.
yeah, there's some sweet chin. No, okay, let's stop it. So yeah, give it up to the promotions department for coming up with this. Again, I'm dying to see a Hurdle just in that pose, stick between the legs, you know, the open blade of the stick facing up. Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Well, I mean, let's be real here. Your BFF needs to contact us to get all the great ideas to improve the organization. Let's be real.
Sure, I'll go with it. I'll go with it. So that's it for Shark Bites. And now we move on to our three stars of the week, or what we like to call.
Oh, good for you.
And so, obviously, Rocket and Jerk are not here. So this is going to go a little quicker than normal. So, your third star of the week, Puck Guy.
My third star of the week will go to Brendan Dillon. Just because,
Filling
Rocket's
in,
not.
I was going to say, filling in for Rocket.
No, and let's give some credit to this guy. He's kind of actually moved up into the second pairing with Burnsy. He's played sound defense. He did have that little quote unquote lapse of judgment with the slash at the end of the game against Washington that cost him a game suspension. But at the same time, we haven't gone, "Oh my God, Dylan again," like we did during the Cup final in 2016. He's played some solid defense, and he should be praised for that. Not like he hasn't been praised enough on this podcast.
That's true. But no, that is a great point, especially when you consider how many times, and I know that I was probably the biggest offender, but always dumping on Dylan. And a lot of that also had to do with the money that he was making. So, no, he's starting to earn his contract in my eyes. Definitely the fact that we're not going, oh, if not for Dylan, especially when you look at the other night with that overtime loss when everybody was dumping on a different Dylan, DeMello. So, anyway, my third star of the week, of course, is Jumbo Joe. Dude, the shirtless bobblehead, of course, but the dude has actually started to look like 100%. He certainly didn't coming into the season, but he's actually started to look 100% this, just over the course of like the last five, six games. And hey, got into his first fight in like 3 years. So, Jumbo Joe, you're my third star, bro. And time for the second star. Who's yours, Puck Guy?
My second star is a tie between the bearded ones, Brent Burns and Jumbo Joe Thornton, mainly for what you just said, AJ, with the with Jumbo. But he had 5 points on the homestand, a goal and four and assists. He, like you said, he's starting to come together. And same with Brent Burns. I mean, Burns, he had, I can't think off the top of my head, three, four goals this homestand, and he's starting to get on things now. So it's nice to see the bearded ones come out, and they were probably threatened to be having their beards shaved off, and now they've stepped up their game, and 5 out of 6 points, you can't be wrong with that for the whole team. But these guys are the leaders, and they need to act like leaders.
Yeah, I mean, 3 goals in the last 3 games, essentially. I mean, he's got the 2 power play goals against who's it that we just played? Wild, yeah, 2 power plays against.
Minnesota.
Well, yeah, his former team. How did I not know that? And then, of course, the overtime winner versus Carolina. So, I mean, yeah, please, Burns, heat up, brother. Earn that $8 million, would you? My second star, of course, has to go to the Washington Capitals, Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Just for the self fist bump gif. Thank you. Thank you,
Yes.
Kuznetsov, for giving us the self fist bump. I know I mentioned it earlier during when I was recapping the game, but I cannot get enough of it. The way that that went around on Twitter and some of the funny things that people had to add to that, it was fantastic. So, Kuznetsov, you're my number two this week. And number one. What do you say, Puck Guy? Who's yours?
It's got to go to the world's okayest goalie, Aaron Dell.
You took
Did oh
mine.
is that oh
Now go
shoot.
ahead. Go ahead.
All right, I mean he's played very well this year. He's played unbelievable. He had a shutout on the homestand. He played pretty well, filling in for Jones while
I think you mean
Jones
he,
was.
I think you mean he played pretty okay.
That's true. He played pretty okay. I mean, very, very okay.
Gotcha.
But he's played very well. And if you're starting to get the word in the Twitterverse or around the quote unquote insiders of this team where you're starting to take notice, you're doing a pretty okay job as a backup.
Yeah. As I stated, my number one, also Aaron Dell. All the things that Puck Guy just said, I mean, getting that shutout, second one of the season so far. Again, as I stated earlier, it seems like the more time he gets, the better he looks. But Aaron Dell, you also get my number one for leading to what quite possibly could have been the dumbest tweet, the dumbest hockey tweet of the season so far. Somebody out there tweeted that Dell looks so great or whatever that the Sharks would look into moving Jones and see what they could get for Jones.
What?
Yeah.
I mean,
So, Aaron Dell, thank you for that. That made me giggle. So those are the 3 stars of the week, and if you were named one of them.
oh, good for you.
And now it's time. Oh man, we haven't done that in a while, it feels like.
Wow.
Around the horn. I don't think we have done that in a while, so it's nice to get back to it. So, when we're talking around the horn, we have to talk about a couple things. First being, oh, Seattle, what are you doing? Seattle Council votes 7-1 to approve a $660 million Key Arena package, which would clear the way for a new arena at Seattle Center by 2020. And a potential NHL franchise. And in fact, I believe it was either yesterday or the day before that Gary Bettman was already kind of quoted as, while not outright saying, oh, it's going to happen, he just about said, yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah, he basically gave the green light, just like he did to Vegas, to have a season ticket drive to see the interest out there. And it's going to be interesting because you wanted to balance out the conferences, which is great. I totally get that. But now, are you going to have 9 teams in the Pacific and
Nope.
7 in the Central?
Nope.
Or is another team that's in a southern state planning to shift over to another city?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, just based on geography, it's not like you can say, oh, Seattle, by the way, welcome to the NHL. You're going to be playing in the Central, just to let you know. You know, obviously, you can't do that. They're not going to split up the Western Canadian Triangle. It's just not going to happen. They're not going to split up the California Triangle. I mean, there's your six teams. So who's left over? Well, potentially Seattle, potentially Arizona. And who the hell am I forgetting? Who else is in our division?
Vegas.
Oh, yeah. See, well, sue me that I forgot the brand new team, you know? you know, geez. So I would think it would be pretty damn obvious that Arizona, if Seattle comes in, Arizona would move. It seems to be the most obvious. Arizona's had such a difficult time trying to find a home. Vegas, brand new, shiny. I mean, literally, the only two teams that you have that are options to move are, you're not going to move the brand new team. So it's obviously Arizona who's had the most trouble. I don't know if they would go to Houston, Kansas City, or maybe they stay in Arizona. God help us, but they just end up moving to the Central. And look at, which wouldn't be any better for Arizona, like wins wise.
No, no. I think it's, to me, I instantly thought, okay, Seattle, you're going to put them in the Pacific Division because you're going to have the rivalry with the Sharks and you're going to have a rivalry with Vancouver. I'm sorry, Vancouver. Mm-hmm.
It's okay, man. I can edit that out.
Oh, shit. But I mean, to me, when I heard about Seattle coming in, and then all of a sudden there's interest in Houston, it's like, okay, now it's the writing's on the wall for the Coyotes. They don't have an arena deal anywhere. All their arena deals have basically fell through. The Suns don't want to do anything with them. They can't do anything in Scottsdale. They can't do anything in Tempe. I mean, and I know a lot of, oh, here's this one's for you, AJ. Desert Dog fans.
Hey, now.
But it just seems the writing's on the wall for them to head to Houston very soon.
Yeah, that's and do yourself a favor, if you're going to do that, maybe put a little space between the arena floor and like outside. So if you get if you get some rain, you know. But anywho,
yeah,
and not to mention the fact that that's the other thing too, Houston. There is a crap ton of humidity there. I mean, ask the Dallas Stars. So, I mean, if you think Arizona has a hard time keeping a decent sheet of ice with the heat in Arizona, at least it's it's very dry. You're just really concerned about temperature there. But in Houston, you've got temperature and humidity. So, oh boy, that should make for a fun sheet of ice. But I go back to the fact of, I understand that $500 million or whatever the expansion fee is going to be when they decide to put a team in Seattle, I'm still of the belief that the NHL does not need expansion. It needs relocation. You look, a really good way to kind of get a feeling for this, look at the Sharks' last road trip back east. That game against Florida was abominable, all the empty seats that were there. It was staggering. The Washington game, I thought, had a lot of empty seats.
Even friend of the show, Kevin Kurz, mentioned that in a tweet, how even the hockey towns aren't completely selling out games.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting to see how that happens. So, yeah, Washington, Rock the Red. You couldn't find an empty seat for years. And, it concerns me.
It should be concerning. I mean, is it the case, and this is what Kurz had mentioned, is, have the NHL finally exceeded, as they say, supply and demand? Have the prices, have they just priced themselves out, and the prices just exceeded the demand? People, I mean, the Sharks, not only did the Sharks this last season, not only did they raise ticket prices, they also created, they doubled their price points for tickets, I think.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, what, 32 different price points now?
Yeah. So, which makes it a little more confusing, I'm assuming, for fans trying to purchase and whatnot. But just the fact that those prices are going up when you're not even selling your barn out with the regularity that you used to, that it is puzzling. And I understand there's operating costs and whatnot, but and this is a question, and I'm sure a friend of the show, Gen X, has an answer. But this is something that always puzzled me, was the fact that I understand you never want to try to devalue something, but how much value does it really have if if nobody's buying it? You know what I mean? And I remember there being this concert tour a while back where the prices seemed to be kind of outrageous. Like I think they wanted like $110 for a ticket, and this was not. I don't want to get into who it was because then it'll be a whole subject. Oh, that band sucks anyway, or whatever. But like prices were like I think like or say it was $100, and a lot of people were balking at the $100, and so they were a lot of it. They were playing at places that were like 70-75% capacity. And a couple people had broached it like, well, I wonder what it had been if they had sold at like $70 or $75. And basically, the article that kind of covered it said, you more than likely would have sold more tickets, potentially sold out some venues that you didn't end up selling out. Not to mention the fact that take into account the amount of concession, more concession, I mean, along with that extra ticket that's purchased, a lot of times that also means that you might see some parking revenue. A guy who you're going to see some money from food and drink sales, maybe another t-shirt or program gets sold. I mean, there are ways to make up for, having a slightly lower ticket cost. So, anyway, to get back to the primary, my point, I know I went on a tangent, but this whole, I understand you want to expand to balance the NHL as a whole, but it also, even if you balance it, I mean, do the math. If you do balance it and you've got eight teams across in four divisions, 82 team any 82 games doesn't cut it. Right? You'd have to add one more game. You have to go to an 83 game schedule with basically the Sharks playing every team outside of their division two times and then playing within their division five times. You could do it that way. But if you do that, you have to go to an 83 game schedule. Or conversely, if you don't want to see your division that often, you can add two more games, go to an 84 game where you play everybody in the East twice, you play everybody in the Central three times, and then you play everybody in the Pacific four times. So you have that. I mean, it's like, do you want to go to a little bit more baseball where you face your division a lot more than anybody else? And then that comes into a then you have to take into account like, well, Arizona on a Tuesday probably not going to be a big draw. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's just so much to take into account. But again, I go back to the whole thing of I think it needs to be relocation, not expansion. If anything, I think they could consider contracting a team and just making it 15 teams in the West, 15 teams in the East. Hell, go back to the three divisions per side, East and West. I don't know. I mean, there's some way to do this. I just think if you want to do expansion, fine, do expansion. Just don't come bitching to me. I don't want to hear that there's a lockout in 5 years or 6 years or whatever because, oh, the money, we're not doing so well. And it's not to mention the fact, too, that you add another team, you're just diluting the talent pool even more. It seemed like just a few years ago, well, okay, a little bit more than that, like 15 years ago, it felt like every team had at least one, maybe two kind of like really big names. And I'm looking at the Ottawa.
Carlson.
Well, yeah, okay, Carlson. Okay, that was a bad example. But I know that, well, I guess I don't know, or maybe it's the fact of, okay, Hurricanes. Skinner?
Jordan Staal.
Okay, maybe Stahl. But there's a couple teams.
Oh,
It
come on. Oh,
just.
yeah, I'm sorry. Cam Ward, obviously.
All right, all right, all right. But it just, I remember like it just felt like, I don't know, 15 years ago or something like that. You could go through teams and you could just like name off like at least three people that were like, oh my God, those three guys. And like back in the day, what it was like, what, Timo Solani, Paul Kariya, and Niedermeyer,
Yep.
It was like, oh my God, those three guys. There was a, and now it just seems like the pool has been so diluted. So anyway, we'll see what happens with Seattle. Speaking in that general location, things are not looking good for a new arena for the Calgary Flames, evidently. That is what's being reported. Do you think that they would consider moving, or what do you think the situation is in Calgary? I just can't see them moving. Like they'll just hold on. Dude, do you see the Red Sea? Do you see it? That fan base is so devoted.
I can't see them moving. I can't see them moving out of there. I think the Battle of Alberta is just too painful for them to lose. And where would they go? Quebec City? And now you're going to have the conferences imbalanced again.
Oh, dear Lord. And we end up with Detroit back in the West. Ha ha ha. Okay, never mind. And finally, we will talk about Russia being banned from the Winter Olympics by the IOC. So the Russia Olympic team, this obviously has an impact on the NHL because Ovi ain't going anywhere in February, kids. But Russia's Olympic team has been barred from the 2018 Winter Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea. Country's government officials are forbidden to attend. It's the Russian flag will not be displayed at the opening ceremony. The anthem will not be played. And without NHL participation, does anybody really care from a hockey standpoint? Is kind of what I'm saying.
No, because they're going to have like a unified team and try to shock the world. But this would be quite more interesting if Alex Ovechkin was actually going to go to the Olympics.
Wouldn't it be funny if he went anyway and he's like, screw it, I don't care. I'll play in one of those Olympic sweaters. And what song are they going to play if one of those people like wins a medal? Is it going to be like that generic Olympic song that they play going in and out of every commercial?
There's got to be some type of Olympic anthem that they'll put their hand over their heart and just
Oh,
belt out like crazy.
I want it to be that whole that Bob Costas NBC that or whatever that God, I wish I knew off the top of my head. You know what song I'm talking about that they just use relentlessly over the course of those 2 weeks.
But we can't do that because of copyright infringement.
Dude, the entire Olympic team from a country doped. I don't think they're gonna care about copyright. I don't think they give two piroshkis. I don't know. Give me something Russian. I don't think they give two shots of vodka about that. Sound good? Sound good. So that wraps it up for Around the Horn, which would be a great time for Rocket Backhander to arrive.
Hi guys, Rocket Backhander
I'm not doing this whole goddamn show again, I swear to God.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Right. So we got to preview the next games. There's only two between now and next week when we should be recording, hopefully with any luck. At Calgary and at Vancouver, the Sharks finally seeing some Pacific Division teams. What a concept, seeing as though, the Sharks actually play in that division. I mean, when was the last time? Who have we seen? Like Vegas, Arizona, and LA? Was that?
We've seen Calgary.
Well, I beg to differ. We've seen
And
Vancouver.
yeah, we've seen Vancouver.
No, this is the first time we're seeing Calgary. I'm looking at we played LA once, then we played Anaheim, Vancouver, LA again, Anaheim again, Arizona, Las Vegas. So yeah, it's the first time we're getting up to the northwestern triangle of Canadian hockey. Again, though, we did see Vancouver. Calgary. I mean, they're fighting. What can you say? I mean, I thought they would have done better been doing a scotch better. You know, it's not a show unless I use that word. I would have thought they would be doing just a scotch better than they are, but they're in the thick of it, guys. I mean, San Jose right now, 35 points. Calgary right behind them at 34. Granted, San Jose has a game in hand, but they're staying in the thick of things. San Jose with a goal differential plus 10, Calgary minus 6. We'll see how that plays into it. But I mean, Rocket, I know Calgary is one of your favorite teams all time. So how do you think this is going to go?
All right, so I hate the Flames. I do. I hate the Flames for what they did to Logan's face, his beautiful, gorgeous face. But at the same time, Matthew Tkachuk is single-handedly turned into the greatest heel of all time.
Have you seen the video that's going around?
Which one?
There's a video on YouTube, I swear to God, that it's like 12 minutes of
Oh, Matt Tkachuk pissing NHL veterans off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
Nice.
that's just his rookie year. That has nothing to do with this year. I don't know what his innate ability is, but that special gift, that thing that really brought him to the show, I like watching it. And I feel bad for the Sharks because he's going to do Tkachuk things, and there's probably going to be some fisticuffs and things involved. They do have some good pieces. They have a lot of speed. I mean, Johnny Hockey's on there, and he's not an invisible presence by any means. It's a solid team, and to be honest with you, I think the Sharks probably won't win this one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised we don't hear Johnny Hockey's name a little bit more, but maybe that's, you know, the whole East Coast bias thing. Puck guy, how do you think this shakes out with Vancouver? I mean, Calgary, excuse me.
With Calgary, they have a decent defense. They have good offense. It'll be a good challenge for the Sharks. But let's also remember, folks, what's a shark killer? Its name is Mike Smith. And
This is true.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Sharks get like 48 shots on goal and they get shut out. I don't want I want to be wrong on this prediction, but for the sake of Hockey Jerk, I will say that the Sharks will win 2-1 in a shootout.
Jeez.
All right, that's fair.
All right. I think the Sharks can win both of these games versus Calgary and Vancouver. Even though both teams nipping at the Sharks' heels. Like I said, Calgary 1 point behind them in the standings. Vancouver 3 points behind San Jose in the standings. So I think the Sharks can win both of these. Boy, we'll see. I just feel like the power play for the Sharks is like finally, it's like the Force Awakens, but the power play. It's like it's finally starting to awaken. Be damned, 5-on-5 scoring. Let's just shorties and power plays as the day is long, kids. So I just say Calgary and Vancouver both wins.
Oh, wow.
Calgary will be
Wow.
a tight one. Vancouver should be like another 5-0. What do you say about Vancouver, Rocket?
I think Vancouver's going to be a little bit more of a challenge if Vancouver's production gets any traction. Yeah, because they Bo Horvat, what can I say?
Bo Scorvet.
Bo Horvat, the kid is hot.
And
Love it.
don't forget Besser.
Yeah. Could have had. But yeah, like I think that they're going to be surprisingly good. But I still think the Sharks definitely can beat them. They are beatable, should beat them.
Yeah, Besser, Horvat, to a far lesser extent, but it's just fun to say Vertanen. I'm telling you, but Besser and Horvat right now, like it wouldn't surprise me if how long do the Sedins have left on their horrible contract?
Oh, I think this is their last year, or maybe it's next year. They're
I
getting close to the end, though. But
yeah,
I
I was
mean,
gonna
they at
say.
least admitted to themselves, look at the kind of role that they play on those lineups now. They're playing more of a backup.
Yeah, no, this
Yeah.
I'm looking it up. This is their last year.
Okay.
So, I mean, you got Louis Erickson signed long term, Bo Horvat signed long term. You know, Besser is going to get paid. So, I mean, if they find a couple decent pieces on defense, they might be able to turn this ship around. And like I just said, they're freeing up 14 million in space after next season after they finally get rid of the twin ladies. So, hey, two girls, no cup. Rocket, or I'm sorry, Puck guy, what do you think about the Vancouver game?
What do I think about the Vancouver game?
Oh, crap, here we go.
The Canucks will feel bad, and because they'll play bad, and you know who will not look bad will be Chris Tierney with another two goals, as the
Hey.
Sharks rout 5-1.
Yeah, Tierney becoming a bit of a Canuck killer a little bit. I like that. So as we finish this one up, guys, we're basically just over a third of the, I should say a skouch of a third of the way through the season. If you don't know what that term means, check at Pucknologist. We put the Merriam-Webster's definition up there. But a third of the way into this season, for me, like, I'll ask you here in a second, but who are the people that have kind of like disappointed you the most? Like, give me your hat trick of disappointment and your hat trick of surprising optimism or something. But for me, clearly, Bodker, number one, biggest disappointment. We expected so much. Like, okay, he had a horrible last season, so you're thinking. We even heard it was reported that he had like changed, worked on changing his game to better fit this PDB system. Was supposed to. He's the dude that's just going to solve this second line. Of course, that ended up being Hurdle, but Bodker just an excruciating disappointment coming into this season. LeBanc. I felt like I was sold a bit more of a bill of goods on him than we've seen. I don't know that nobody's like paid the freight on this guy yet. So maybe he needs another stint with the CUDA again, but so far I haven't been that thrilled with LeBanc. And then to finish off my hat trick of disappointment, I hate to say it, and I sound like an idiot right now after the last three games, but Brent Burns. I mean, three goals in the last three games, but up until that point, the guy scored three goals in the last three games. How many goals did he have up until then? I think it was like one.
One.
Yeah. So that's my hat trick of disappointment, while my hat trick of cautious optimism is clearly Aaron Dell, the Cobra, Chris Tierney, and you know what? Timmer. I'm loving Timmy Heat right now. So those are mine. Rocket, third of the way through, your hat trick of disappointment.
All right. Those of you on my poop list include.
Well,
But I'm not limited to.
yeah, not limited to. She's going to be like PDB, Roy Summer.
No, I'm going to say, just to be democratic a little bit, Paul Martin, definitely disappointed that the Burns Whisperer has not been whispering to anybody, but,
Oh,
the
that's
people.
good value for that pick.
Yeah. Let's see. Who else? Yeah, I mean, Burns definitely. We expected so much more from him, especially over the past couple of seasons that he's had to start like this. Perhaps the Wookiee is human. That's disappointing. But hey, whatever. But still, he's in a big, fat contract, and I expected a little bit more production from him.
Would it be Jones?
No, I my third disappointment.
Ward?
No.
Hansen?
No. Well, he's just been healthy scratch, huh?
Bop.
Not recently. He was, but not recently, just
He
only
was.
because, well, I was going to say only because Bodker's on IR, Donskoy's out, Gaudreau just went down. Actually, Gaudreau would have been a good pick for exceeding, but yes.
Yeah, I was about to say, generally, Gaudreau's on my list of disappointment, but he's been holding his own. Definitely doing more than holding the door for now.
I mean, you can
They're
always go with
also
that
equally
one.
disappointing, So I'm going to probably say Dylan DeMello, because it seems like every time he gets a chance up here, he's like, nope, got to go back down.
Oh, I thought she was going to go like with her disappointment. It was that one blue coat that pissed me off that one time. No, I'm kidding.
Is that one girl? Oh, it's that blonde girl, a St. Louis Blues fan.
what's your hat trick of cautious optimism?
Okay, so my hat trick of cautious optimism includes the following. Brendan Dillon. Look at the guy. Look at the guy. He's amazing. Watch him skate. Ah, watch him take the body. Oh, look at that fancy footwork. Woo! He's my favorite guy.
That bright white mouth guard that you can see from clear across the arena.
Yeah, fun fact, that's not a bright white mouth guard because the mouth guard he uses is clear. He was born with those big, beautiful teeth, and I've got photographs to prove it. All right, my second super exciting excitement dude this year is probably Tim Heed. I was really he had a great year at the Barracuda last year, and I was hoping that his presence would be as powerful here in the Sharks. And the kid, as young as he is, with as little NHL experience as he has paired pretty well with Brent Burns, who has notoriously had bad dance partners. So I definitely give the kid props for sliding up to the big table and being able to hold his own.
Well, he's not that young. Dude's 26.
I know, but he hasn't had that much time in the NHL, dear.
Well, okay. Experience versus age.
No. Yes. But no. And then my third cautious optimism is probably the Cobra. It's Chris Tierney. Because I did watch him skate a little bit the other day, and I noticed that he's kind of gotten the piano off of his back a little bit more this year. Maybe that has something to do with his uptick in production. So whoever's doing the skating coach for him, kudos to you, dude, because it's really paying off. Major.
It'd be really funny if one time they like let Tierney lead them out for some reason and they got the PA guy to play like Billy Joel's Piano Man. I think that'd be really well done.
Rude.
Puck guy, your hat trick of disappointment so far this season.
Oh boy. I mean, early on, it was pretty simple, and for some, it's still going. I gotta say, my disappointment would probably be, you guys already mentioned Dylan DeMello, so that's one of them. But the other one I would say would be Joe Pavelski. He had chances, and yeah, he's starting to come on now that Joe and Burnsy are getting going too. But it's like you're the captain. I mean, you don't need to just wait for a shot from the point or the pass from the boards to get going. It's like you can shoot yourself, man. I mean, come on.
And
But
has a great shot.
he does have a great shot, and he should use it more. That's all I'm saying. You don't have to just go after the tip. You can
Captain does the tip.
just shoot it all and shoot it in. That's all I'm gonna say. And my most recently now, I'm gonna say Martin Jones. Ever since the injury, and he's come back from it. He's had a rough go of it. I mean, I think we talked about it on one of the episodes of After Dark, where he's for December so far, he's has a 4.25 goals against average, which
Trade
is
him. Trade him. Get rid of him.
wow. Okay, if you want to talk like a hothead guy who doesn't have credentials anymore, but whatever.
Oh, just kidding.
But as for my guys for optimism, Tim Heat's been great. I'll kind of put him in a tie with Joachim Rein, who played pretty soundly, I thought, for the most part with Bernsey. Not to jump on Rocket's bandwagon, but Brendan Dillon. I mean, he's played very, very well, and you don't have the. Oh God, Dillon has the puck. Oh my God. What is he doing skating? It's. I don't know what Rocket did during the off season to help him out,
She
but
moved. She
keep
stopped scaring him.
and to quote Joe Pavelski, keep doing whatever it is you're doing. And yeah, Chris Tierney. It's amazing what happens when you move up a line. He's played very well, and has shown why he was the second round draft pick of the Sharks and a few years ago, and he just seems like he's going to get better and better. So, cheers to the boys over there.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Tierney has probably exceeded anybody's expectations the most. Joki Ryan, though, I think that's also a great pick when you consider that dude started the season thinking that he was going to be battling DeMello and Heed for the sixth spot or the sixth, seventh spot, whatever you want to call it. And then two games is like, oh, by the way, we're throwing you up on the top line with Burns because Martin's out. You know what I mean? So way to step that up. So that's it, guys. That's the end of show 34 here on the Pucknologist. As always, subscribe to us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Pucknologist. Do us one better. Follow us at Tealtown USA. I am your host, AJ Strong. On the Twitter, AJ underscore Strong. Same thing on the Instagram. And Tealtown USA on the Instagram. Rocket, where can the people find you on the social media platforms?
My name is Rocket Backhander, and you can find me on the Twitter machine. Capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76.
I like to chit-chat about hockey, drag queens, all things teal, and the crappy weather here in Nashville, because it is pretty crappy. Or you can check out my photographs on Instagram, also crappy Nashville photographs. Teal. It's shark life in Predators territory. It's a little weird, but so am I. Bracket Backhander, one word, Instagram. AJ?
Let's see, you fuck guys.
I must say that let's keep this point streak going and let's get these wins going and maybe shut some media people up about the Sharks are done. It's still about the Kings and the Blues. Yeah, shut up. The Sharks still have a shot. On Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, you name it, PuckGuy14. I do dabble in the graphic arts along with running this little shindig, and on occasion I might complain about how wonderful or lack thereof my actual paying gig is. So that's PuckGuy14 on all your social media. Back to you, AJ.
And now, thanks for tuning in. Next time, it is show 35. That's right. OG Nabokov.